The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to The Promised Land, a show about Manchester United and part of the 90 Min Podcast Network. I'm Scott Saunders, joined by Rob Blanchett after a weird week of cancellations or postponements of football matches and two Manchester United Europa League matches. We're recording just after a 2-0 win over Sheriff after an opening round defeat to Real Sociedad last week. Rob, how are you? I haven't spoke to you for a week or so.
Yeah, it's been strange, isn't it? It feels like the world in Great Britain especially has just stopped, and we know why that is. But we don't need to talk about that too much. But here we are. We had a game of football tonight, and it was quite nice, wasn't it? See Manchester United go away in Europe and kind of handle their business. You know, like, we're seeing United now control games in their own skin. And you kind of think to yourself, this feels like the future playing out now. But no, good game of football. And just nice to actually see some players back out on a football pitch.
Yeah, make no mistake, this was a giant of European football. They beat Real Madrid last year, who are the European champions, obviously.
And they have Sheriff, a great badge. Have you seen their badge? Like, it was like, yeah, if I ran Sheriff, that would be the badge. I would draw that badge and put that on you. But it was very entertaining.
But no, like you say, Rob, it's nice to see United actually just doing a relatively professional job. Mm-hmm. They were troubled now and again, but it was nothing to worry about, really. They got the job done. Goals from Jadon Sancho and a pen from Cristiano Ronaldo, his first goal of the season, were the difference makers in this one. And it was a relatively comfortable night. But now United go into an international break and a postponed match against Leeds. When are these matches going to be fitted in? April? I saw it was April, honestly. That's the next available window.
Yeah, and I've been told that it will be after the World Cup, because the when you look at the World Cup itself and the build-up and the kind of when going up to maybe, say, England taking their players out of the Premier League and all the other international teams as well, that window from there to the end of the last game to the actual World Cup is like, it's nothing. So it's going to be impossible to squeeze these matches in. I think you're going to get this huge fixture pileup right at the end of the season, almost, I think, 2 weeks before. I wouldn't be surprised if we see something like 6 games in 2 weeks or something like that. Can you imagine how that might actually spoil the race? You know, if you've got two teams going for it, City or Liverpool, and they've got fixture pileups, and then they have to play, they might even play each other somewhere in that mix somewhere. But, you know, does it justify that you had these cancellations and then your whole tournament is spoiled? You know, the whole 38 games comes to a head in a kind of weird, warped way because of a World Cup that probably shouldn't be going on at Christmas. So there's lots of opinion around it, and I can see why fans are kind of disappointed with some of it.
Yeah, crazy season. You'd always prefer as well to have points on the board rather than games in hand. I don't know whether that's just me, but you're nodding as well, so I'm 100%. Guessing you agree. You can subscribe to our show wherever you get your pods, on Apple, Google, Spotify, etc. And usually watch us twice a week on Tuesdays and Fridays on YouTube, although apologies, this week, as we mentioned at the top, a little bit different. Man United have had 2 games postponed. We'll look to be back to the regular schedule as soon as possible, hopefully next week. I don't think there should be an issue with that. Head over to the YouTube channel, hit the like button, subscribe, join the community, and leave a comment. And the link should be in the description of this episode if you're listening on one of those audio platforms. And follow us on Twitter too. I haven't really wanted to tweet the last few days, to be honest. I've just had enough of it. But @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B, and @PromiseLandMU. Give us a follow, get in touch. Yeah. What should we talk about today, Rob? I've got in the notes a bit of reflection on the Sheriff game, talk some players, Dalo, Eriksen, Ronaldo, postponements, and Jadon Sancho was left out of the England squad today as well. So I figured that was one thing to touch on. We're a bit light, though, to be honest, with transfer windows closed.
We Europa can talk League, around it.
Europa League games against Sheriff. Is the main story. So let's start there, I guess. What did you make of the performance? Because it was a routine win, but like after last week's home defeat, and given the context of the group as well, if you like, if you win the group, I think you get to skip around the round of 32 and go into the 16. So United need to win the group, really. And they needed to win this one.
They did. And yeah, the reward really is obviously if you top the group and go through is that you avoid those Champions League teams coming in. So obviously make sure your progression a little bit easier. But do you know what, Scott? Watching the game today, he put out what I would say his strongest team is. I think with Rashford and Martial out of the picture, that was the strongest 11 that he could put out. It's kind of making a point there. Still haven't seen Dubravka yet. Is he actually at the football club? I know we have signed him, not really seen him. So I'm sure he'll get a game somewhere in a cup competition down the line. But it was good to see United, I think, after maybe a slightly ropey first 15 minutes, just turn the screw and start to control the game a little bit more. And these are very obvious things that we have not seen at Manchester United for a really, really long time. You know, you come out of games like this and you actually feel happier than you would have done in other Europa League wins from years gone by, where you go, oh, well, you're playing Sheriff. You expect
God, do you remember the days of Fellaini late winners and all this business?
Do you know what I mean? And just managing football matches for Manchester United has been an art in itself. It just hasn't happened, has it? It's always been rushed or pushed. And last season, I think, was the complete unravelling of it, wasn't it? We actually saw it in real time from Ole to Ralph to nothing, you know, to nowhere in the league, nowhere where you wanted to be. And that was after buying Ronaldo, Sancho and Varane. So it was, I think looking at it now, I think all the credit has to go to Ten Hag. You know, they look organised, they look motivated, they look like they're playing to a philosophy. And is it
they look like they can pass the ball, Rob, as well.
But just passing the ball 5 yards without anyone blinking an eye, and you're like,
getting it's what emotional. Normal football teams do.
I haven't seen this for so long. Like 5 yard passes down the line and then inside, and it's like, how is this happening? I've not seen it for so long, and it's ridiculous. But that's where we are at Manchester United. We have to rebuild from the bottom up, don't we? So it's really, really encouraging to see this. And it feels like the team already, here we are weeks into a season. All right, yeah, it's a funny year with the World Cup and whatnot, and obviously what we've just had in the past week or two. But overall, it feels like there's some Ten Hag DNA in this team. Yeah, it's a new team. It's his team. And there's things to iron out, but it all feels good. I think this game tonight is a real example of where you go away from home, you just do the business, you don't mess around, you get your 2 goals, you get your clean sheets, and you move on. And that's a good thing for Manchester United. Obviously, international break now coming up, but they're going to have some time, obviously, to go back to Carrington, to refit, and to be ready for the next wave of games. And then after that, after the international games, it's a mad schedule. Like, it really is. I mean, it's something like 12 games in...
I think the commentator tonight said it was 13 games in less than a month or something.
7 weeks,
like
I think.
This.
It's something mad. It's something crazy. So there's no doubt that Ten Hag is going to have to utilise his squad.
Yeah, and he tried that last week. We haven't spoke since the home defeat to Real Sociedad, which the penalty was a bit, you know, dodgy.
Worst penalty I've ever seen. Maybe not ever, but certainly in recent memory. Like I let's address it then, just as we're talking about it suddenly. I have no idea how the rule is written down. I've read that rule 1,000 times. I know what that rule means. And the whole point that the ball, VAR could clearly see, bounced off a part of his body onto his arm, negating that moment. There's clearly also no deliberacy, though that's not in the rule. The referee could look at that. How on earth was that given as a penalty? Well, of course, you lose the game because of it.
Yeah, and United didn't do enough.
They were poor.
Last week either. Yeah. They weren't that great. And that came with rotation. You notice Harry Maguire started that game. And I think there was this graphic floating around of like when Maguire starts, United lose. When he doesn't, United win. When he comes back in, United start losing again. I mentioned just off topic, I'm probably in the minority here, but he came on in the 89th minute, got the armband on, started shouting all of these instructions as David De Gea pushed the team up for a goal kick.
He did that. David was at a goal kick and like in the 89th minute, and Harry was like, David, over there. No, you don't have to do that, Harry.
I was like, what are you doing that for?
He was still doing warm-up stretches in the 91st minute, you know, and you kind of like...
he actually was as well.
Poor lad.
There was literally 30 seconds left. I like I say, I'm in the minority here, but I felt a bit sorry for him, like how it's come to this. There's no, well, if you feel sorry for him, you know, one like equals one tear, etc. In the comments, just poor lad. But is it half of it isn't his fault, but a lot of it is his fault. So at the same time, you know, it's cutthroat top level of football. And even if you are an £80 million defender who's the captain of Man United, and then you come on in the last minute, and that's literally it. There's only one way that's going. But he did make the England squad today, so it's not all bad for Harry Maguire. Jadon Sancho did not. I've been rambling there. Sorry, we're doing this at a different time. I'm recording about 12 hours after we usually record these.
We normally do breakfast shows,
yes,
don't we?
Yes, we do.
So we're used to the sunlight coming in and my face glowing and beaming because the sun's right in front of me. And tonight it's pitch black and it feels like winter is coming.
Yeah, me and Harry had too much wine last night as well. So, difficult one. But yeah, let's talk about the Sheriff game. Any particular player? We talked Harry Maguire there, but any particular player there who did stand out to you? I know I've got three written down. Two impressive players written down. Dalot.
Interesting. Dalot pre-Antony and Dalot post-Antony. It's like a different machine, a different animal. Why? Well, you can see that the way that Dalot's playing now, I tweeted, and I kind of got a little bit of a tick when I tweeted it. It was like, oh, he's doing Cancelo things. Now, he's not Cancelo, but what does Cancelo do? Cancelo squeezes inside, becomes a central midfielder, and then magically appears at fullback again. And you're like, oh, look at that. Isn't he good? He's such a good player. Now, that's tactically not a unique thing to Pep Guardiola, but it's that kind of pressing system about looking after the space and knowing what you're doing that we've never really seen at Manchester United. Again, completely a brand new thing. So seeing a right back who has struggled at times last year and struggled, I think, in the early part of the season, like people said he's played better, and I think he has. But, you know, he's all right. You know, people are saying he's the best right back in the Premier League. Not quite sure about that.
Have they? I haven't seen
that. I've thought that best this year on form, best right. But, you know, some people have got rose-tinted glasses. That's the way it goes. But I think what I'm seeing from him is really encouraging. And it is because Antony goes and holds the wing, goes really wide, and says to him, you go inside. I'm not going inside. I'll hold that width and you can go and exploit inside channel. And you suddenly see Dalot when the ball's on the far end of the pitch playing as a bang central midfielder. You're like, what are you doing? He's clearly been told to do it. And he's actually really natural at it. So just really, really like quietly excited about Dalot when he's a player that's never really got me off my seat. I've always criticised him. I've always felt he wasn't good enough for United. But now you brought Antony into the picture. Antony really helps Dalot. I think more than say Dalot helps Antony. So ultimately, we know Antony's a virtuoso kind of player and you know the kind of skill that you get from him in the production. But if you could get Dalot being a more rounded fullback and being like a more modern wingback coming inside, wow. You know, you suddenly are moving places. And United's defence in midfield, I feel, since we saw at Brentford, feels like it's evolving very, very quickly.
Yeah, it's not been too many games. Six games or something like that since?
That wasn't long ago. Really, yeah. It was pretty, you know, it was pretty recently, and it's now trying to, you know, thinking about that moment to this moment and how low that moment was, and then saying, right, hang on, let's manage to do his job for a bit. Let's see where we can go. I think they've very quickly gone on, and I said this DNA style of Ten Hag is pretty evident.
So you made the Dalot comparison to Cancelo there. Are you saying that we can expect Diogo Dalot outside of the foot crosses into a towering striker in the next few weeks?
Of course. You know, not that we've got any towering strikers in that way, but I do think also it's about variation, isn't it? And about your team not completely doing the same thing over and over again and becoming predictable. Because I think that was something that Manchester United could run into this season, that if they get into a groove or a certain way, they could become predictable and maybe get picked off because it's still a learning process. But it shows United have got variation. So if you've got variation, even just from the players you've already got, you know, no transfer window now to bother you, you get on with it. Dalot knows that he's got him, Wan-Bissaka, and now we've saw obviously Malacia going playing on the right hand side. They're your right hand sided fullbacks. That's it. So if Dalot can keep his place and keep the performances up, he's going to start every match.
Yeah, he came in under Jose Mourinho. You know, I think he was very complimentary of him when he came in. Cost about 19, 20 million, I think. And something that we've said numerous times on this podcast is there's a lot of players in that team who haven't really had elite coaching.
No.
For That's a long different. Time.
Yeah.
And now it's like players that you've written off that you've... We knew that we'd see improvements in a lot of these players, but there are even some players you just felt like, oh, that might be it for them.
Yeah.
Then there's no saving them. But I think Diogo Dalot was maybe earing towards that side. But, you know, he's very much first choice at the moment. United did want another right back in the summer to either compete or back up for him. Do you think he's a long-term answer?
Difficult. I don't know. Like, as I said, I'm getting kind of a bit of a tick saying that he's anything like Cancelo, because Cancelo's the best at it in the world of what he does, isn't it? Just he's so good in terms of all parts of the park. So I don't believe Dalot can do that going forward, but I do think that Dalot can be a better footballer. And it's my old catchphrase of, is a player useful to you? You know, can a player be useful to your team in terms of winning? I think Dalot, over recent incarnations, the answer has been no. I think he's been all right, but he's not really helped you win football matches. Now, I think he is helping you win football matches. He looks like an assist threat. He looks like someone that can come narrow. I think he's, you know, we know he's got a good shot in him as well. So if he suddenly does come narrow and ends up as the guy on the edge of the box in the centre of the box, I think you could see him cracking the target a few times. He's not cracking it from a wide right angle, which is a much harder shot to score from. So promising. I think that's the way to look at it. And I think this is how the whole squad build needs to be now of Manchester United. It's about trying to just take players on a peg or two and seeing if they can get that chemistry as a unit.
Promising on the promised land. Something else that is promising, and or somebody else that is promising and delivering, to be honest. We spoke about this before we started recording, but Christian Eriksen in the midfield, I know he's earned rave reviews for most of his United career so far. And I was looking at his performance tonight, and then I thought to myself at one point, all the justification of, I hate to go back to it, but all the justification over Paul Pogba's performances, what he could bring to the team. Christian Eriksen's just come in seamlessly on a free transfer and has been doing everything that we wanted a midfielder in that position to do for 6 years.
Forever.
Without a fuss. And it's not even his natural game,
yeah,
to be honest. So, yeah, he's just a breath of fresh air, really, isn't he?
He's just, again, because we've been denied these things at Manchester United for so long, it feels like this alien from outer space has landed in the midfield and is, like, doing all of these otherworldly things. And all he's really doing is passing the ball 5 yards and running around a bit. He's a fantastic footballer. You know, it's interesting to hear his comments in the last week or two about saying that he sees this move to Manchester United as his redemption. You know, we've not really talked about that from before. And it's understandable, because what he went through a year ago was not just a scary thing to each one of us that experienced it and to himself, but it really felt like it was the end of his career and potentially his life. And here he is, a year on, a little bit after a year on, we've got World Cup coming up, and here he is strutting his stuff as a 6/8 in Manchester United's midfielder, a position he's never really played long-term before, and he looks like Paul Scholes light. So it's amazing, really. Like, you know, we've spent all summer stressing over Frenkie de Jong, haven't we? And here we have now, we've got Frenkie de Eriksen. He's here already. He's doing that job from the 6 and the 8, which is all you needed. It's ironic, isn't it? You know, we talked a lot, didn't we, on our show about the value of Casemiro, the price, £350,000 a week, £60 million for a £30 million player. He's not even starting games. You're playing Eriksen in there. So I think it shows why there are reasons for that, but it just shows how good Eriksen is. I think he can't be left out. Like, all this let's rotate Eriksen business. No, he's your best player. He has to start. So he runs everything from the midfield, and he just gives you so much cohesion, you know, that intelligence in the middle of the park. He makes everyone around him better footballers.
It's lovely to see, isn't it?
It is.
And yeah, let's hope. I wanted to... Is it too early to do this? Am I going too fast?
Do it, but whatever
I'm
it is.
It's 2-3 weeks away, yeah. The Manchester Derby, I'm just looking at the way that United have beaten Liverpool.
Oh, we'll beat them.
Arsenal. I fancy Tottenham to go to City and beat them this weekend before it was cancelled. Or last weekend, was it? It's nice to feel like not everything is doom and gloom again. And there are tools that you have in your team, like Christian Eriksen. Maybe Martial will be fit by then. Rashford has been playing well on the shoulder. Maybe there's ways that Man United can hurt Man City in the next game, even though City are looking one of the best teams in Europe at the moment. Even though that goal last night, that Haaland goal, I want to get your take on this. I haven't tweeted about it. I've been silent. The Cancelo assist was amazing, but Haaland's very tall and just stuck his leg in the air. Am I doing him a disservice there?
I think the thing is that, like, really, Haaland is a physical freak. Like, he really is. There's parts, he can just do stuff that other human beings cannot do. Now, we just talked about there about an alien landing from outer space. Well, Haaland might be that incarnation at the top end of the football pitch as this alien for Manchester City for the next decade or so. And I just think the thing is with Haaland is he has a very unique hunger. He wants it. Like, he just wants it. You can tell he's the guy in training going, I'm going to score all the goals. Give me the ball. I'm going to score the goals. You're not scoring the goals. It's my job. And you can see how much he wants it. So I think with that goal, it's a great goal. But I think overall, you're going to see a lot more of that from him because that's just what he is. I know we've been spoilt with Cristiano scoring goals for years at football clubs and the likes of Lewandowski and obviously Lionel Messi. But I do think Haaland's got to have his own little unique bit of history carved out. I think he's that good. And for his frame and his physical attributes, in a physical league anyway, I think that he's going to really enjoy life in the Premier League. And is he the final piece in Manchester City's puzzle of winning the Champions League? I hate to say it, I think probably yes.
Not sure about this year.
Not this year, maybe not, but I do think overall that trophy will be coming
back
to East
Lynch. At some point it's going to happen, isn't it?
Just because he's so good and what they've got around him, they very quickly learnt how to use him. Like, he does it hardly even touch the ball. And they're like, yeah, we found ways for him to score goals and he'll get better at that. I think he'll become more of a team player, but who cares if he's scoring 50 goals a year? You're happy with that, aren't you? It's not like maybe Cristiano's issue at Man United where maybe in the shape doesn't suit him or doing that role doesn't really suit the team.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That's a different question. But I think at Manchester City, they've got enough pieces to be able to do whatever they want.
Yeah, you mentioned Ronaldo there. I did want to come back to him. In an alternative universe, Erling Haaland could have ended up at Man United and Cristiano Ronaldo could have ended up at Man City. Alternative universe and all. Maybe Ollie could have got his man and then United would have had a striker and they would have needed Ronaldo. Maybe. Ronaldo 37.
Changing history.
Yeah, Ronaldo 37, 38 this year or next year, early next year. First goal of the season from the penalty spot. It looks like he's more willing to integrate into the system because he knows he's at Old Trafford or with United for the rest of the year at the very least. There's a World Cup coming up, obviously, which he's going to be preparing for. He's smiling a bit more. He's still shrugging his shoulders though, and he's dropping back from his number nine position. Where do you stand on this Ronaldo thing at the moment?
I know it's like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. But I think the whole thing with Cristiano, in the last few games, and I commented on this and stuff I've written, and I said that I do think he definitely looks more mobile in the sense that he's buying in. So, yeah, he can't do the function very well, but he's buying in. You know, he was actually kind of closing down space and being part of a press, and kind of maybe to the standard that I would expect an 18-year-old to do. That's not trying to besmirch him, but it's the truth. You know, it looks like he's learning it on the fly. And you don't need that from someone of his age group who, you know, he's going to be at your club for just maybe the rest of this season. But I did think today in this game, I thought he kind of went backwards a little bit again. So I think he struggled in the last Europa League game, which obviously United lost that game. Definitely. And he struggled. And I think today was a little bit of reverting to type. It was a bit like, no, I'm not closing down space. I can't do it. I'm not doing it. What I will do today, guys, is that when you've got the ball, I'll run back towards you. Like a crazy person running towards the midfield. It's like, why are you doing that? It's just going to spoil the shape of the front line. So that's what it did. It spoiled. And I think that's why United, when you look at the goals today, I think the Sancho goal was excellent. You know, again, Man United looking like a football team, putting the ball on the deck and playing some good football. Sancho have a really good finish, really calm. I think that could be his MO going forward, his perfect goal every week where he gets the ball in the box and, you know, smokes a cigarette. Jinx one way, beat someone, bottom corners over there, mate. Look, ball's in it, done. That's Sancho in a nutshell. And I think he'll do that more and more as we go forward. But you've got to have a front line that operates. And there's no doubt for me that, again, Ronaldo just didn't do that. Just doesn't give you... Someone tweeted me actually afterwards. They went, no, Rob, what the tactic was. The tactic was Ronaldo to run back. They were being serious, I think, here. And Bruno to become the forward. They was running forward. That's what they were doing, they're swapping. And it wasn't that at all. It was when Ronaldo ran back, Bruno was like, what's he doing? Oh, God, all right. I'll become a forward then suddenly. So not great. And I don't think Ten Hag would like it. But when you win 2-0, who cares? It's okay. You can go back to Carrington. You can lay out all the metrics and get out your boards and say, look, you're doing this. I think the problem with Ronaldo is just that if he's hit or miss, there's going to be games, isn't there, where he gets the ball on the penalty spot in and around there and he scores a hat-trick and we go... Still a great finisher. But you saw today, I think he had one really good chance where he went through and the legs had gone. By the time he got that ball there, and the ball flew over the top. And as you said, he did the, you know, and it's a bit like, just don't do that. Just calm down. Like, you know, if you can't shoot the ball, pass it or do something else. So I think that's always going to be the problem with Ronaldo from now until the end of the season is that you're going to try and find ways to help him. But if he can't help you, how often will he play? You know, I think when Rashford and Martial are fit, Cristiano's on the bench.
Mm-hmm. It's happening a lot, isn't it? Those Ronaldo, you know, putting the ball in behind for him to chase, and he's just looking his age.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
he's like the thing. They said on the telly. I think it was Owen Hargreaves said it, or it was Paul Scholes, and they said, oh, you know, like you see, it's Robbie Savage actually when he gets the ball. Like Ronaldo, a confident Ronaldo would turn and run with the ball in space. It was like, 7 years ago, what are you talking about? He can't do that now. He hasn't done that for ages. He didn't do it at the back end of Real Madrid. He never, ever did it at Juventus, and he's never done it for Man United. So there's this perception still that Cristiano can still do loads of different stuff like he's 28 years old. He's not. He's an old man. It's hard. Hard work. You know, I think he gets out of bed and he's a bit like me. Like, back's a bit sore today. That's where Cristiano's going from now on. It doesn't get better. I'll tell you that now.
Do you know, sure. I actually had a similar thought to this today. I was emailed PAC. They're doing FIFA 23, doing their releases and all this kind of stuff. And they do the ratings. And today they send through the 5-star skillers. Cristiano Ronaldo was one of them. I was like, really? Still?
Strange.
Doesn't play like that anymore.
Got nominated for a Ballon d'Or when Man United came sixth. Like, what? It's a strange world. And unfortunately, we do get this cult of personality still in football. And Ronaldo is still a huge personality. There's no doubt about it. He will sell more shirts than Christian Eriksen. But who do I want in my team first out of those two? It's going to be Eriksen every day of the week. So I think United, this is a building process. And eventually Cristiano will go and he'll say his goodbyes and... You know, he'll be adored and thanked and all of those things. But that number 7 shirt, I keep thinking it, Scott, and I'm not going to stop thinking it. That needs to be on Jadon's back. Get on Jadon's back and tell him that this is his football club. You know, and I think when we get to that moment, which might come at the end of the season, round there next summer, no World Cup next summer. World Cup will be already done and dusted. I think Cristiano might be off for an extended holiday, maybe in Saudi Arabia, playing football out there.
Yeah, in a show maybe over the next few weeks, I'd like to do a run through. I think there's 9 players out of contract next summer. What do United do with those players in terms of extensions? Ronaldo is among them, Dalot among them, Rashford among them. Plenty to get their teeth into, plenty to work on at the moment. But that's two, that's one win and one defeat in the Europa League so far. You know, that game against Real Sociedad away in San Sebastian, win that, you know, score twice, win it by a goal, you reverse it, you win all your other games, you still come top. Not looking too bad at the moment. They've got the weakest team in the group over two games next, because I think Sheriff beat them in the first game 3-0 away from home as well. So, we'll see how United manage to do in that competition. It's important to win the group, but now we embark on nothing. There's nothing to look forward to now for weeks. It is international break time. Two fixtures postponed. We don't know when they're going to be rearranged for yet. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling to football at the moment? Because we'll have a Premier League round this weekend, but no United, no Liverpool, I don't think, either. Mm. Not a lot of big games.
Not a lot of big games, but I'm glad that the Premier League is playing. You know, I think I totally understand, obviously, all of the reasons of what's been going on in the last 10 days. They're all massively understandable. I think it's hard for business leaders as well to kind of take their steer from a government that doesn't really give them the correct advice or give them any protection as to what their decisions are going to be. But the Premier League got it wrong. They got it wrong. You know, they cancelled those games in good faith. They did it because they felt that that was really what the nation wanted. And then all the other sports went ahead and the Premier League went, we've just lost millions of pounds this week because you know what. So it happens. And I think that football in one way, I think Rory Smith said it best, actually. He said kind of like, football gets judged in a way that the likes of rugby and cricket don't.
I did see that. And yeah,
rugby and cricket are elite sports and elitist sports. So, you know, they have a different kind of demographic. Football is the game of the people. And if football had played those matches, obviously what happened around the Queen's death, then there would be no doubt that football would have got blamed for all of the ill feeling. And I think the Premier League have got to be always very careful of that. And football clubs, you know, big PR machines, they're always also very, very careful about all of that stuff. So, yeah, we've missed out on two rounds again. For Man United, it's two because Manchester Police have all been sent down to London for the funeral, obviously after the weekend on Monday. And that means that that game can't go ahead. But yet you are still getting games at Brentford going ahead in the middle of London. So it's a strange one. So I think football has found it very difficult to be able to look after itself in light of, say, public opinion. But I think it happens to football a lot, being the game of the people.
Yeah, that is how it is. And instead, we are embarking on an international break. There are England matches. I'm gonna go to Wales, Poland next Sunday.
Yeah,
to get a good look at the team before the World Cup.
Yeah, Maguire and Shaw
called up to the England squad today. Marcus Rashford tweeted that he was injured and that's why he's not in. I think that's pretty much what he said, right? But Jadon Sancho is not in.
Yeah,
instead Jared Bowen out of form. Jack Grealish getting criticism for being out of form. I looked at that squad. There's 28 players on that list. There's 12 defenders in there. 12 defenders.
Very Southgate.
Very, very Southgate. I mean, how do you think Jadon Sancho would be feeling?
I think Jadon's thinking, I have a little bit of a holiday, put my feet up for a couple of weeks. I'm playing really well for my football club. I deserve a little bit of a break. You know, I'm a strange one with international football, right? And I am one of those classic United fans, you know, club before country and all of that. And that's, historically, that's because I've seen many England games at Wembley over many years and seen some of Manchester United's greatest ever players booed by Millwall fans who've got England shirts on. I've seen it before. So, you know, I can remember Gary Neville. I can remember David Beckham, Nicky Butt, Paul Scholes, Phil Neville all getting booed because they played for Man United. So that doesn't help you when you're a football fan in the first place. But going forward all these years later, I don't mind what Southgate does with his team. It's up to him. If he wants to pick a Jack Grealish, who I think has only assisted in something like 11 games, goals or assists, 11 games in the 60-odd games that he's played for Manchester City for £100 million. That's up to him, isn't it? I'd rather Jadon had a break. I'd rather Marcus had a break. So we can use England to blood some of our players that are not playing, like Maguire, like Luke Shaw, who need minutes at the moment. But overall, I'm not that fussed. I'd rather my players had that rest, you know, especially the players that are starting games for our football club.
How do you treat international breaks as a fan then? Are they switch off time for 2 weeks?
It depends, really. Like, as a fan, yes, in a way, because I just don't get excited by it. You know, if there's work involved, then you do it like a job, because that's what it is. It's football and it's important to some people. And you ride the merry-go-round of international football for a week or two. But it is immensely boring. Like, just like, even from the first presser to then monitoring the players in training, it was just all a bit like, ugh.
Oh, somebody's pulled up with an injury in training. They've had to, you know,
and it's normally a United player. Like, how many times where I always say, all I care for this international break is that none of our players get injured. And then you hear at the end of the game, oh, three of your players are injured and they've gone back early. And you're like, and I'm bored of that. You know, so I think that's the whole thing, is that I understand, again, that there are a lot of football fans, especially in the lower end of the pyramid, where they love England and it's their chance to support better footballers. So they go to Wembley. It's a very, I think, London-centric thing as well. You know, in the southeast, it's their kind of the southeast team, I've called it before. They've tried to tour England around the country, of course, to make those connections. I think the Lionesses do a better job of that, of being the team of the people for the country, rather than the England national team for the men's. But overall, Scott, like, I will watch the game, but I'm just thinking, please don't get injured, Luke Shaw. Please don't get injured, Harry Maguire, you know. Don't get injured, but, like, you know, just take it easy, mate. You know, get the minutes under your belt. But overall, I am one of those club over country people. And I know that I get criticised for that, especially if I spoke to other journalists who love international football and are really, like, they adore all things England. I'm a Red. I'm a United fan. To me, it's all about United winning trophies. It's not about anyone else winning trophies.
You talk about clubs, teams of the people. Wales do that quite well for us lot. And yeah, I'll be dipping down to Cardiff in the next week.
The Gareth Bale 11 or whatever they're called.
The Gareth Bale 11. His time in MLS apparently isn't going that well. But, you know, as long as he's ready for the World Cup, that will be fine.
Great golf courses out there. Amazing golf courses.
Rob, we've any final thoughts before we wrap today? Because we'll be back. We'll hopefully be back to normal next week. I don't know if maybe the days might change a little bit here and there, but we'll get back to you and we'll tell you on socials.
Yeah, no, look, I think as United fans and as a football club, we're in a good place. You know, so I think this is what we've said this year, isn't it? Is you can't judge everything just by victories. We know that Ten Hag knows that we have to win games. That's a given. But it's the vibe, isn't it? This year is creating something that's fresh. And it's so refreshing to see Manchester United just play normal football and look like hungry. Like, did you see today, Scott? Like, there was a little passage of play where Sheriff passing the ball around. And every time, like six or seven moves, a United player was on that player, like closed down. And I'm just thinking, I've lost count the amount of times where I've said to myself, why are you not closing the ball down? I think for about the last 2 years. So just the basics, seeing the basics. And I think I'm really impressed that Ten Hag's got a handle of this so early. Like, I thought it would be this point that we're at now. I thought this would be much later on. I thought this would be Christmas and you might be going, well, United have lost a load of games, but they're getting it together. It feels like they've got a cohesion there right from the back. Those two boys, Martinez and Varane, that they are like, that they run the shop, don't they? You see it, the passing out from the back, I think, is elite. I think Varane really looks like he's moved up a level because he looks fit now, doesn't he? He looks like the player that we bought 12 months
ago. God, talking about injuries and stuff on international duty. Fingers crossed there. Touch.
Yeah, Varane stubs toe out for 4 weeks and you're like, no, international football, I hate you. What is it? You know, so yeah, that's, you know, it's the Paul Pogba factor, isn't it? Paul Pogba go there and his knee would explode and would be out for 8 weeks and you'd be like, oh, here we go again. But it does happen a lot, doesn't it, with international football? So that's the problem. You always worry about it. I certainly worry more about that than the results for the international team, certainly for England. So great when World Cups come round. You know, that's the business of tournament football and it's a kind of different vibe again then for internationals. But you just hope that kind of our main players come back fit. But, you know, those two boys at centre-back, I love them. I already do. I'm just like, what they do there, they just do everything to a really high standard, and they just get on with their jobs. You know, there's no fuss. You know, Martinez, no fuss. Varane now looks like a Rolls Royce on four wheels. You know, not two, not three wheels. He looks like a proper motor again. So lots of good things for Spanish United. And all the signings look like they're adding some kind of value.
Yeah, just the one thing as well. Casemiro played the last 45. There was one moment today where he tackled two people in like 5 seconds. And I was like,
yeah. I'm gonna do a little end to the show about Casemiro because I've done it before and I'm gonna do it again because we're gonna hold on to this because it does worry me. It's only a tiny, tiny worry. We did a lot on this show, obviously, when that transfer was going through about the value of it, the high value, the wages, everything. We said, don't worry to fans, don't worry about all that stuff because it's not really important. It's more important you get the player. Casemiro has been at Man United a few weeks now. We've kind of the end of the window and just before. And Scott McTominay is still in front of him. Now, that's deserved. Scott McTominay is deserving of his place, and that's a good thing. Casemiro, for the money that he's here at Man United for, needs to be an automatic starter. Like, he needs to be elite level all the time. And he's building up to it, so we'll see what happens. But there's a tiny bit of me, Scott, that's thinking, Real Madrid done us here. Have they done
this value? There's no doubt about it.
60 million, £350,000 a week in a deal worth around 150 million per the contract and everything. I want more. Like Scott McTominay is outperforming him because Scott McTominay is going, I'm just going to do things next to Christian Eriksen because he's really good and he can help me and I can help him. And that's a good thing. Casemiro's got to do more. And I was surprised that he didn't start today. And the reason why he didn't start is that he did start the last Europa League game and wasn't very good. Him and Fred were absolutely a shambles. You just said there about Casemiro closing down twice. There was one bit I saw towards the back end of the game. But he lost the ball and someone ran him and he looked like Cristiano, like Bambi legs. He went, and I was like, no, you can't have that. You're elite, best in the world defensive midfielder cannot be like that mobility-wise. You cannot get done by someone from Sheriff. Because in the Premier League, you'll get killed. And I think there is a reason why he's not playing. And I think it's that.
So, he did get done by Sheriff last season as well. So maybe it's just Sheriff.
Maybe it's a Sheriff thing. You know, did he shoot the Sheriff? No, he did not. He shot the deputy. But I think overall, I think with Casemiro, plenty of time, obviously, to get into it and to become the player that we hope he is. But my God, he will be an expensive mistake if he's not a success. Like on the flip side of Eriksen, who costs nothing, and it's already you're feeling so good about. I'm looking at Casemiro and I'm kind of going, we know who you are. We know how many Champions Leagues you've got. But you need to be winning games at Man United now. You need to be controlling that midfield and he can't even get in the team yet. So let's see what happens. I didn't like the cameo of Casemiro and Fred. I looked at that and thought, Brazil, you're having a laugh. You know, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. But let's hope Casemiro comes good in the weeks ahead. But I think it might be something that we're talking about if he's still on the subs bench. Can you imagine that? £60 million sub form, £350,000 a week, while Scott McTominay shuts his stuff in the middle like the McSauce that he is. So let's see what happens in these games. He's got time now, isn't he? There's a few weeks to go. He might need to get fitter for the Premier League. Let's hope he does that.
If he turns Scott McTominay into a world beater, I'm all for it. But we'll see.
His form is great. This is the thing. Form is always, you know, talk about form and class, and form is temporary and class is permanent. Scott McTominay next to Eriksen works. Don't tell me how. It's not something I'd have chosen like 8 weeks ago. If you'd said that to me, I'd be like, what? You're playing a number 10 as a number six, and then Scotty's being the mobile number eight. It works for some reason. Ten Hag knows it works. That's why he's playing him, and Casemiro is not getting the minutes. So he played 45 today. So that's a step forward. Someone said, oh, he didn't get pre-season. He played every game for Real Madrid. He got pre-season. He's fit. So there's a reason for him not starting matches. And it probably is that in training, he's just not doing it at the moment.
There is more time for him to bed in, although plenty. International break is coming up. And, you know, not a lot of Man United football to talk about from here for the next few weeks, but we'll do our very best in the next couple of weeks to talk stuff around Man United. We'll do maybe some contract talk. I'm sure there'll be some international breaks are really good for out-of-line quotes from any number of players. So I'm sure we'll get one or two of those. We haven't touched on Anthony Martial's interviews from earlier this week either, so maybe we'll do that on a show in the future. But that's it for today. You can subscribe to our show wherever you get your pods, on Apple, Google, Spotify, and the likes, and watch us on YouTube twice a week on Tuesdays and Fridays, as well, usually. Back to normal next week, hopefully. Hit the like button on this video, subscribe, join the community, and leave a comment, and get in touch with us on Twitter at @ScottSaunders, @Rob_B, and @PromiseLandMU for the show. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Man United 2-0 winners over Sheriff. What an achievement that is. Until next time, this has been The Promised Land. Thank you very much.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.